Well, hello there and welcome. This is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. You are the stars of the show, and we look forward to interacting with you today on this broadcast on EWTN Radio. I am Jerry Usher along with Debbie Giorgiani. Debbie, how are you?
It would help if I turned my mic up. There you go. It's Friday. Okay, so Jerry, I'm good. But you know what? We need prayers for the folks that are in the midst and the range of the storms that are going through Texas and Louisiana. And so please, folks, I know Houston got hit badly this morning and yesterday. So please, and it's going through the United States. We've got to pray that people get to shelter and safety, and there's enough food for people. If something goes wrong, they can't get back to their homes. I hear that trees are coming down on people's roofs, and it's just... Yeah, we need a lot of prayers. So if everybody, the Take Two family, because you are prayer warriors, please pray for everybody that's in the line of the storms. Mm-hmm. Also, Jerry, I'm doing well because one of our listeners from Texas suggested this topic. Margie from Texas asked us to do a show on, do you practice the virtue of hospitality? And Jerry, I love that. So Margie, if you're listening, thank you. We love these suggestions. You can always get them to us by email. Charles Beery, our producer, picks them up at take2@ewtn.com. But we're going to talk about that today, so you can't get started with your weekend yet.
The way you join us is by phone. There are several ways. I'll list them here. The phone number, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-EWTN. 3986. Our email is open round the clock 24/7, especially during the show. We're watching it at take2@ewtn.com. You can post on the show website, take2show.com. And if you're watching the video streams on Facebook or YouTube, you can put it in the chat section there. And we want to know again, as Debbie said, do you, or maybe how do you practice the virtue of hospitality? How do you like to really open your heart to give to other people, to host people, to assist those who are in need? There are a lot of angles we can come at this topic from. So do you practice the virtue of hospitality? And if so, how do you do that? You give a lot of people ideas with your lived experience today at 833-288-3986.
And the show team is in place. Like I shared, our producer, Charles Beery, is at the controls. He's doing a fine job. We have Michael McCall on social media and Matt Gabinski ready, willing, and able to answer your call. You see why I'm going fast? Because this is a fast show, one of the fastest hours in Catholic radio, I believe. And so we really got to fill those phone lines, have a robust discussion, walk away a little bit changed with some great ideas from the Take Two family. So please call in. And you don't have to be Catholic to call in. That's the beauty of this program. Because if you're listening, Jerry and I consider you part of the Take Two family. So welcome to the family. Call in now and share how you practice the virtue of hospitality. The number to dial, like Jerry said, is 833-288-3986. And Jerry, I have strong thoughts on this topic.
Well, you worked in the hospitality industry for a long time. So
that's exactly right.
I look forward to hearing some of those. But I just did a quick search online. What is hospitality? And here, if this describes you, you've got to call in and share your lived experiences. Cordial and general reception of or disposition toward guests. An instance of cordial and generous treatment of guests. And here, another one, the act or practice of one who is hospitable, reception and entertainment of strangers or guests without reward or with kind and generous liberality. So maybe you work in the hospitality industry. Maybe you do that for a living. Tell us how you like it, what you like about doing that, just really being there, being of service and giving of yourself to other people. 833-288-3986.
You know, it's so interesting. I was talking about, he must be on my mind this entire week because I've been talking about him all week long. And our retired bishop here, Bishop Thomas Olmsted of the Diocese of Phoenix, I consider him like the perfect example of making everyone feel welcome and everyone feel special. And Jerry, you know where I'm going with this because you've had many, many encounters and events with Bishop Olmsted. And when you are in his presence, you feel like you're the only person that matters. He looks at you. He gives you the attention. I have seen Bishop Olmsted where he will be in a crowd of hundreds and hundreds of people, and he's talking to that one person, and people will come up behind that person and be waving their hands going, hi, Bishop, and he doesn't break a stare. He stares at that person, and he makes that person feel alive and valued. And the beauty of it is, I don't know how he did it. I have to ask him one day. He remembers everybody's name from the first time he meets them. Mm-hmm. So it's actually incredible. So I think he is, for me, where I live in Arizona, he is just the perfect role model for that. But I believe the way he does that is he's very intentional. If he says, okay, Jerry Usher is walking up to me, I'm going to be present for Jerry and only Jerry. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get distracted. And that to me is practicing the virtue of hospitality.
It sure is. Benedictines are big on this, so if you are associated with anything having to do with the Benedictines, maybe an oblate or something, tell us about how hospitality fits into your spirituality. 833-288-3986. It's our Friday Don't Get Started with a Weekend episode of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. We need you to make it a show like you do each and every day. We have still a couple of phone lines open there. How do you practice and exhibit hospitality? Or, you know, maybe like I said earlier, maybe you do it for a living. Maybe you do it in your home. Maybe you're part of a group that does this for, maybe you feed the homeless once a week, you know, mm-hmm. and you welcome them into a shelter somewhere. There's a lot of different ways of looking at this. So what does hospitality mean to you? How does it fit into your life? 833-288-3986.
I'm so glad you said that, Jerry, because that's how we roll here on Take Two. We covered from all angles. So maybe, just maybe, you're not very good at being hospitable and you're not really welcoming and you're kind of aloof and standoffish and you don't really know how to do it. Let's talk about it so you can walk away today with a new habit that you can practice, because practice makes permanent. We know that on with life coaching. So there you go. There's the Take Two family. You're responding now. Thank you, Margie. Great topic you suggested. How do you practice the virtue of hospitality? That's what we're talking about today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. Now, please pick up those last two open phone lines, 833-288-3986. And when we come back, we're going right to Pat, Jerry in Kansas.
Said Pat is going to be up first. We have Sharon and other calls being screened by Matt right now. You can join the list of people who will get on the air and share your experience of hospitality. How do you practice that gift, that virtue of hospitality in your life? 833-288-3986. Just want to quickly, before we go to the phones, tell you about a wonderful, this is an amazing item in the EWTM religious catalog. Check this out. It's a personalized desk shrine, the marriage of Saint Joseph and Mary. Okay, it's the perfect meditative and devotional gift for a wedding anniversary or a wedding day or another special occasion. The image shows Mary and Joseph both kneeling before the priest who blesses them in marriage. The image is digitally printed onto a wood plaque, insert in an elegant white marble shrine frame that's made of stone cast alabaster. The shrine is 5.5 inches wide by 8 inches high and 1.5 inches deep. And the back of the shrine features a secured easel for standing and a simple metal hook for hanging. So get this personalized desk shrine, the marriage of St. Joseph and Mary. Very unique gift. Available now at EWTNRC.com, where you get freestanding orders, standard shipping on mm-hmm. orders $75 or more. Just use the code FREE when you check out.
You're taking the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say the same thing. What a unique item and a unique gift. Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay, somebody dropped of the Take Two family. If you'd like to call back, the line is still open, but that frees a line for you. So come on, sneak in there. Let's go, you guys. Dial this number, 833-288-3986, and tell us how you welcome people, how you make people feel special. You know, the virtue of hospitality that was suggested by Margie from Texas. And also, if you want to call in and suggest a topic for our summer calendar, please do so. We're finishing it right now. And then you can maybe get your suggestion on for August. So it's coming up right around the corner. Summer's going fast already. Look at this. We're almost into June. 833-288-3986. And yes, Jerry, we're going to Pat in Kansas on Divine Mercy Radio. Hi, Pat. Welcome to the program. Hello, Pat.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air. Go right ahead.
Okay. I live in Goodland, Kansas. We have a tourist attraction here. It's a Van Gogh, huge Van Gogh painting of sunflowers on an easel. And a lot of people stop and walk over, take pictures and so forth. But right across the street is a walking park, and I walk my dogs there. Try to do it every day. If I notice someone is over there, I will take the dogs, walk across, explain to them I am an unofficial three-party greeting service to welcome them to Goodland, and just visit with them, find out where they're from, and it's just, it's fun for me and them, I think, and tell them also there's a museum right across the hump over here where they can go there if they have that kind of interest, and it's just kind of fun, and I make sure they know I'm unofficial. I'm not an official greeter.
Yeah, that's so beautiful of you to do, Pat. Because you know people are kind of maybe looking, they have these things on their minds they'd like to see you do, and you can give them some leads and tips and so forth. Reminds me of, I think it's Fort Wayne, Indiana, the airport there. When you get off and go down the escalator to get your bags, they have people there give you a wrapped cookie and ask if you need information on where things are and stuff like that. So, what a beautiful, beautiful gift that you're giving those people. What do you think, Deb?
I completely agree, Pat. But you know what I love about what you're doing is you actually care. You know, you're stepping up, you're making the effort to walk over there, you are introducing yourself, you're welcoming them, you're sharing something, you're making them feel, you know, appreciated that they're there in your community. I love that, Pat. That to me, that's a ministry. Have you ever feel like that?
I feel good about it. I don't know. Yeah, kind of, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. Soul to soul encounter. Yeah, we need more of it, Pat. Wouldn't you say, Jerry?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, well, Pat, thank you very much for sharing that. You got us off to a great start here on this conversation about hospitality. Mm-hmm. Our phone number, 833-288-3986. Hospitality takes many forms. It's not just having, you know, the family over at Christmas. Hospitality, like we were just told by Pat, you know, it extends to maybe even perfect strangers. It could be serving in some sort of ministry to the poor. You know, it could be helping out, you know, maybe visiting patients in a hospital.
Yeah.
A lot of different things.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is we have to remember we can't force our efforts. So we walk up to them, we encounter them if they're open to it. You know, like Mother Teresa, we're Christ-like, right? We should be Christ-like. But we can't really force that encounter. And so that's okay. If a person is not ready to receive that, or is kind of like guarded, like, what are you doing? Why are you talking to me type thing? You know, it's all right. We can still smile and still show them that courtesy from a distance. Wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. Yeah. No, there are a lot of ways to do that. And I think people pick up on that too. Mm-hmm. So very good. We're going to continue along to Sharon, listening on Sirius XM 130 in Germantown, Tennessee. Hello, Sharon. Good afternoon.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Good.
Yes. During the pandemic, our parish continued to have daily mass, and I started going. And then I became a server. And then I got to know the seminarians. We had one from Poland and then one from Germany. And I realized they don't have any family here. They didn't have vehicles. And so a group of us at Daily Mass invited them out to lunch. And then, you know, a friendship formed, and we had them over for holidays. And it was so wonderful for us as well as for them. And then when they were ordained, we went and we sat in the pew where it said family.
Oh, Nice.
Oh, wow.
Well, you were as much family for them, mm-hmm. Sharon, as anybody. What a beautiful, right. beautiful gift. You know, I don't know how often you listen to the show, Sharon. I was in formation for the priesthood in the 1990s, and God has called me back to that path right now. So I'm a seminarian in Orlando, Florida. So I can speak on behalf of all seminarians. I can say thank you, thank you, thank you, because nothing beats a beautiful, wonderful home-cooked meal, Sharon. You're doing a beautiful mm-hmm. gift for those seminarians.
I agree. And Jerry loves food, so yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, we played, you know, games. I mean, mm-hmm. they need, you know, family and people around them also. So, and I don't think we never thought about it that way before. Mm-hmm. But yeah. because I was, you know, serving and then would see them, they would serve with me. It opened my eyes. And as soon as I told the others about it, they were all on board. Like, yeah, let's see what they're doing, you know, for Christmas dinner. And yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's just people aren't thinking about it. But and our priests, too, they would like to come for dinner.
Yes. Yes, you've touched upon something very, very important here. And mm-hmm. not just because I'm, you know, God willing, might be a priest in a few years, but I just really want to encourage everyone. Sharon, you're really highlighting the fact that, you know, seminarians, I can speak from experience, when you're in the seminary, it could be a fantastic and awesome experience and environment, but you know, you want to get away once in a while, you want to get out, you want to have a meal somewhere else. This is a great way for them to do that. And for our priests, yes. I live with two priests in a rectory right now. I can tell you there's not a lot of cooking that goes on in there because everybody's kind of passing like ships in the night, you know. So God bless you, Sharon. I think, you know, you're really doing something great. And I hope and pray, Debbie, she's inspired a lot of other people to do this.
Yeah, that's another ministry work, Sharon. You probably see it as that, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And, we've been enriched by, that was the first time I went to an ordination. And it's because I knew them personally. And mm-hmm. It was such a beautiful, beautiful service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And, I love it. I love it. Wow. Great call, Sharon. Thank you so much. God bless you for calling in from Tennessee and sharing with us today. You are amazing. Now you can get started with your weekend. Okay, Sharon's going to free that line for someone else to pick it up. And here's the number. Let's go. 833-288-3986. Wow, we're not even halfway through the show, and we're learning about various ways we can step into the world and encounter people in a great way, in a big way, and the Mother Teresa way. Remember, she was one-to-one, soul-to-soul, but she really changed a lot of the world.
Yeah, just one quick note on that whole thing about priests and seminarians. You know, when you become their quote-unquote family, you know, it's like you're adding a priest as a son or a relative. Just think about that, the blessing. They remember you at the altar and say masses for you and do so many beautiful spiritual things for you and your family. So,
that's
folks,
true.
Adopt a seminarian or a priest today. There, yeah. That's my pitch for...
Yeah, that's why I love Sarah Club.
Yeah.
Sarah, S-S-E-R-R-A, Sarah Club. Mm-hmm. That's why I was always, for many years, involved in Sarah, to get really to know the seminarians, mm-hmm. to help them, to support them, to pray for them. Yes, I agree.
Amen.
Okay.
All right. How do you practice hospitality? What are some unique ways that you do that, or maybe some very, common ways? 833-288-3986. Sharon is in California listening also on Sirius XM 130. Hello, Sharon. Good morning. Where you are, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Are you talking to me?
Sharon, yes, in California. Is that you?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay,
oh,
welcome.
Oh, good. Yes, thank you. I have always come up as hospitality as being one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I practice this in a lot of different ways, but primarily I take Eucharist to people in our parish, and a couple of them are by themselves, and so I always accompany the gift of the Blessed Sacrament with of servings of soup or banana bread or something like that, and. I've also started the practice of that at church, that when I see somebody at church daily and I don't know who they are, I go up and introduce myself so that we could call each other by name.
Beautiful.
I love it.
Yeah.
Wow. Intimate encounter beautifully done with such care, such graciousness, and so holy. Wow, Sharon, you've got a winner there with that practice that you're doing with folks. What can we ask? What the response is from the people?
Oh, they just love it, and especially the one couple that I bring a meal to almost every week, because the wife is getting worn out by having to care for her husband.
Sure.
And he is 90 years old now and doesn't do anything for himself but expect her to be there, you know, all the time. So it really helps her a lot, too.
Amen. Wow, what a! I'm sure you know the gift that is, Sharon, to those people, and I just hope others who are listening right now maybe consider doing something similar. And as you were talking about taking the bread of Christ to people, our Blessed Mother, Sharon, came to my mind. Mary, you know, with the visitation to Elizabeth, you know, you're being just like our Blessed Mother. You know, she bore Christ and went to visit Elizabeth and anybody else she met. She took Christ to them in her womb, and you were doing something very, very similar by taking the Holy Body and Blood of Christ to people. Have you ever kind of pondered that reality?
Well, yes, and I do. I feel like every time I go to visit anybody, it's like the visitation.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So, and I feel like I get as much blessing from it, not for doing it, but from them and participating in their experience of life.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Well, keep it up, Sharon. Thank you so much for getting a hold of us here on the program. Thanks for listening on Sirius XM 130. We appreciate that so much. We have so many listeners on Sirius XM. Thank you, Sharon. God bless you. And on the AM and FM affiliates around the country and EWTN app and EWTN.com. Mm-hmm. And folks, there's no excuse for not listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I guess that's my point.
And participating.
Yeah, and participating.
Yes. We
do
love
have one line open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one line, because Sharon just freed that, and so now it's for you. So let's go, you guys. You don't want to waste even a second, because look how quickly this hour goes, and we want to learn a lot this hour and go into the weekend with kind of a whole new outlook on being hospitable to others, to in encountering others, valuing their presence, what we can bring to their life, you know, with a smile, with a gesture. Oh, I love it, Jerry. This is music to my ears, right up my alley here, because you're right. I started out in the hospitality industry, and I can't even begin to tell you how many training sessions we had in the hotel industry where it was talking about how to teach people to be kind to one another.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, since I've been here in the South, I'm in Florida. There's a grocery store chain. I won't mention it, but you go into any one of their stores, and the hospitality is incredible. I mean, the smiles, the greetings, did you find anything okay? Can I take your groceries out for you? I know a lot of, you know, most businesses, you know, are that way, but this just seems to be a little bit of a cut above, you know, and it makes a difference, Debbie. You know, when you go into an establishment like that, you really feel welcomed and valued. So hospitality is something. It's a huge thing. And here in our parish at the Basilica of St. Paul in Daytona Beach, I'm a little bit hurt, actually, because my pastor wants to change the ministry from usher to minister of hospitality.
Oh.
I'm a little bit hurt over that, because he wants to change it from usher to...
Yeah, I know, from usher. Ha ha, Jerry Usher, I know. Very funny. You have your own ministry.
I'm an usher at every mass, actually.
Do you ever get that all the time?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Can you share for a moment before we go to break, Kimberly Hahn, real quickly? I can't quite see it on the screen. I just want to make sure.
Actually, we'll do that when we come back.
Okay.
And Becky, we're going right to you in Minnesota when we come back. And we have Carmelita and Ann and Susan and Linda. One lonely phone line with your name on it, 833-288-3986. How do you work hospitality into your life, the gift of hospitality to others? We are live today with you on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. It is our show on hospitality. Give us a call. Let us know how hospitality fits into your life, the gift that you give to other people in whatever form that takes. 833-288-3986. 3986. We would not be on the air were it not for our affiliates, and we love our friends in Southern California. St. John Paul II Radio will air their spring pledge drive starting Tuesday. So if you're in San Diego, Escondido, El Centro, La Jolla, I could go on and on with the names because I lived there for 12 years. I love San Diego. Remember to support St. John Paul II Catholic Radio, and anywhere you listen, support your EWTN Catholic radio station.
Love it. Yes, please. Because the affiliates rely on their listeners. It's listener-supported Catholic radio, and we need Catholic radio now more than ever. If you agree with that, make a pledge for all the local Catholic radio stations that are coming to you for the spring and the summer appeals. Okay, Jerry, we do have an open phone line. Carmelita in San Antonio, Texas. You dropped off, but you could call back. 833-288-3986. And before we went to the break, Jerry, I wanted for you to share Kimberly Hahn on her show about this idea of radical hospitality, because I have something to say about that. And we also have social media coming in strong too.
Yeah, Becky, hang on. Just wanted to mention that on Beloved and Blessed, Kimberly Hahn has spoken about friends of hers who practice radical hospitality, and this is radical indeed, by welcoming young expectant mothers into their homes. That is a great gift of hospitality.
Yeah, I just wanted to say this. I love this idea of radical hospitality because you want to stretch outside of your comfort zone. And that's where I was going with it. We do a lot of this in life coaching, and it is the exercise helps a person get past themselves and really grow in holiness. So I love what Kimberly Hahn talks about there. I think it's fabulous. Okay, Becky, you've been waiting so patiently. Becky, you get our virtual patience award. It's virtual. We're sending it to Minnesota. Sirius XM 130 is the way you're listening. Hi, Becky. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Debbie. Hi, Jerry.
Hi,
how are
Becky.
You?
Great. So wonderful that you called.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I'd like to think that I practice good hospitality, but I felt compelled to call about my dear sweet friend, Sue. I may get emotional. Sorry. My husband and I and our daughter and son-in-law, we all live in a small town up in northern Minnesota, and my daughter was diagnosed with a high-risk pregnancy. And I happened to be out of town last weekend with this sweet friend of mine to visit my mom for Mother's Day when I got a call from my son-in-law that my daughter was being transported by ambulance 2.5 hours away. To a major metro area. She was going into premature labor at 32 weeks, just shy of 33 weeks. So the doctors and nurses, they did everything they could over the weekend to slow down the labor. And then my friend and I flew out of Portland on just this past Monday, and as I was going through security, I got a text that I became a grandma for the first time.
Congratulations.
So it was the longest flight of my life, and we finally got in, and my girlfriend brought me right to the airport, or to the hospital. I got to see my daughter and son-in-law, not their son. He was brought immediately to NICU. He has a congenital birth defect that makes things a lot more complicated in this situation with him coming prematurely. So my girlfriend just gave me the garage code for her house, told me to just get there whenever I needed to, and I am literally at the tail end of my 2.5-hour drive home from being down there with my daughter and this grandson and my getting home after this long week. And my friend she gave me one of her best bedrooms in her home and put the beautiful sheets on the bed. And one night this week I got home and there were fresh lilacs on my nightstand. And I never felt pressured to tell her I wouldn't be there for dinner. She always made sure I had, you know, fresh coffee, and it's just the little thing. Mm-hmm. And I am so grateful for that, because during such a stressful week, she gave me a place of peace and comfort and sisterhood in becoming a grandma and helping me transition into that. And I just I don't know, I can't say enough about just the simple things that we can extend to one another to show each other how much we love one another.
Absolutely. Well, I think you did it quite well. And you said at the beginning of your call, Becky, that you were going to get emotional. You didn't have to, because I got emotional for you. You shared it from your heart. And I hope that you said her name is Sue, I believe.
Yes.
Okay, I hope Sue is listening, because you could hear it. It came through loud and clear. And Sue, if you are listening, wow, to do that and to create that environment of peace and love and security and that so Becky, you could tend to your daughter and your new grandson. Wow, congratulations. So here's what we did, Becky. We put Sue in the book and her family. We put you in the prayer book. We put your grandson. We put your daughter, your son-in-law, the doctors. We put everybody in the prayer book, and we're going to be praying. And we're so happy that you got to be there for your daughter and for your grandson, and that Sue was there as your friend in need. I love that. I love that you relied on a friend. She showed up in a very big way. Opening up a home is a big way to show up for a person. And I love that. So when we have our friends in need and we show up, I believe that is a Christ encounter, and it's something that sticks with you. And yes, I think there's a lot of tears flowing right now, Becky, because we all want friends like that. They're beautiful. They're precious. And you shared it beautifully.
Well, thank you so much. And I think a good way to bless those people is when they offer help or their home or whatever it is to receive it well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's just that's something that I'm working on, is just, you know, because we think we can do it. We've got it. It's okay. I don't need your help. But we all do. And so just bless those people by allowing them to help us too.
Yeah. I agree. We always take the posture of, I don't want to impose. I don't want to impose.
Yeah.
And the people are saying, no, I'll impose. Please impose. I'm asking you to take me up on this, you know? Yeah.
Right. Well, think about this for a minute. What Jerry just said, and you said, Becky, is so important. You know, you were in need of, you know, that kind of a situation for you so that you could tend to your daughter, right? But Sue was in need of also sharing and being able to give. See, we're all in need of something, and we should allow everybody to explore that and to be there, to know when to give and take in every situation, to appreciate every single encounter, and to let people grow in that area. Because I'm sure, Becky, by this experience, you have grown. I'm sure by this experience, Sue has grown. And we're pilgrims on a journey, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so beautifully said. Thank you. I love listening to you guys, and I just thank you for being here, and thank you for listening to me and letting me share my story.
Absolutely. Well, keep us posted on the grandbaby, okay?
Will do. Thank you guys so much.
God bless you, Becky. Wow, what a great, great phone call. What a whirlwind last week or so she's had. But yeah, folks, really, let's pray for the grandson especially.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely. But don't you agree with that, though? Sometimes when you deny people the ability to give, they want to grow. They want to explore and be Christian. They want to be Christ. They want to be like little mini Mother Teresa's. So let them be that, right?
Yeah. Well, like it says in the Bible, I think Paul quotes Jesus. I don't know if it's anywhere else in the Bible, but Paul quotes Jesus as saying it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I get frustrated, Debbie. You're right on point. I get frustrated when I want to do something for people, and they don't want to receive it. And I'm saying, wait a minute, you know, this. I want to do this. You know, it's not a selfish thing, but you know, there's going to be grace in
grace. That's
doing something. It's going to open up the channels of grace. And so, you know, we need to. I think a lot of us need to learn to be better receivers than we are.
Yeah. Yeah, but that was a great call by Becky. Yeah. Okay, we're going to go to Linda in Cleveland, Ohio, listening on our friends at The Rock. Hi, Linda.
Hi.
Welcome, Linda.
I'm fine. Listen, this is going to be really unusual, but my way of being hospitable is over the phone. When I work with people who deal with credit cards or businesses and all that, I kind of think of when I worked, it really was strenuous. And I really wanted something nice to be said to me. Because a lot of times I'd be getting a lot of yelling and screaming at me, and it would be nice if somebody would say something nice. So after I'm done on the phone with these people, they would always say something. Is there anything else I could do for you? I says, yeah, just wait a second. I have a cute joke for you. And they will laugh, and they go, oh, well, good, thank you. And I'll tell them the joke, and they'll laugh, and they says, oh, thank you so much. You made my day.
That's precious.
I think it is precious, yeah. But I love that you're doing that, Linda, because you're leaving people with a smile on their face, yeah. and a little bit of a giggle, and when we laugh, it releases those feel good hormones. So you're leaving people in a better position. That's exactly what Mother Teresa used to say. She used to say, "Let everybody, you know, feel better and be better once they leave an encounter with you." And that's what you're doing, Linda. Way to go.
Very much. Thank you.
God bless you, Linda. Thanks for the call. Oh, wait, could you tell us a quick joke, Linda? Are you still there?
Yeah, I was going to ask her too.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah, guess what? We've got coming up next week, I think, is our best clean joke mm-hmm. show. But
that's right.
We can give you a little advance opportunity here if you have a nice short little joke you want to tell us.
What do astronauts eat on while they're up in space?
Space food?
No. The Saturn dish.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, wow, that was good. Linda, before you go, let me just give the quote properly for you so you can always remember this. This used to be on the wall of my office because I loved it so much. Mother Teresa, let no one ever come to you without leaving better and happier. Okay, be the living expression of God's kindness in your face, eyes, and smile. So you are leaving, people are leaving you happier, Linda. Way to go.
Thank you so much, you guys.
God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you, Linda.
By the way, it's next Thursday is our best clean joke quarterly joke show. Yeah, so.
You know, it's the one show I laugh so hard. I think people just have fun watching me laugh on camera.
Maybe.
Because I cannot stop. I'm laughing the whole time. It's hilarious. And I love the best clean jokes. I think our Take Two family, you're the best joke tellers. And you do such a fine job at showing up strong and having unique jokes, too, which I think is fabulous. Jerry, before we go back to the phones, may I share about Catholic Answers Live tonight at 6 p.m. Eastern. Cy Kellett takes your calls and talks with some of the leading apologists and theologians in the church today. EWTN is the exclusive radio home for Catholic Answers Live. And Jerry, when you were talking about living in Southern California for 12 years, that was during the Catholic Answers time, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Okay. Now help me out one more time for our listeners, because I've said this a couple times. People will call in to pledge drives and they'll say, I used to listen to Jerry on Catholic Answers. So you hosted it for 10 years and you were actually the creator of the concept, correct?
The founding host. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
In 1998. Yeah.
1998.
Yeah, a lot of water under that bridge.
But thank you for doing that, because people are still calling in about Catholic Answers Live. So that is fantastic.
Praise God. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, and we welcome in another Jerry to the program, listening in Georgia today, and he's tuned into The Quest. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, how are you doing?
Great. Glad you called.
Hey, yeah, I've never called into the show before, but I listen regularly. I drive around in the car a lot with my job, and so it's always a good thing to hear your show and others as well. So just wanted to call in, comment on the hospitality issue.
Sure, go for it.
Yeah, so what actually prompted me to call was what Debbie had said about the Sarah Club, and I was glad that she spelled that out, because actually, my father belonged to a different club with a similar sounding name, and Mm-hmm. And I was glad that she spelled that, because I didn't want that to be confused with the other club that that might people might confuse that with.
Thank you. Thank you, Jerry. Yes, we learned that when we were ministering in Sarah Club. So, yes, thank you. But go right ahead. And are you in hospice work?
I am. I'm a hospice. In fact, I'm sitting out in front of a house now that I need to go in and see my patient. But that was the other thing. I really wanted to comment on hospice. Actually, the word hospitality and hospice, they come from the same. That's what hospice was known for. It was hospitality. And so I'm a hospice nurse, and I try to treat all my patients in the same way. That's one, you know, and the way that I would want to be treated. And I think it. And so I get a lot of encouragement from the show, because it's a difficult job. But I don't want to. I didn't want to really want to draw any attention to myself on this call. That's why I've never really called in before. It is a difficult job, and to be able to in healthcare right now, it's very. I think that's sort of a troubling time for healthcare, because hospice used to be managed, you know, by religious orders, mm-hmm. and now it's not that way. It can be so non-caring in a lot of ways. But
right. Well, Jerry, you said you didn't want any attention on yourself, and that's fine. We understand that. I'll try and limit my, my comments here. But I want to say, Debbie and I, we've all lost, you know, close friends, family members, you know, and who went through the hospice process. And what you provide, is you can't put a price on that. It can't even be put into words, really, because, you know, it's such a sacred time for people in their lives, as you so very well know. I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I know that Debbie would join me in just saying a huge, huge thank you from all of us and the entire Take-Two family for what you do, and that goes for all of our Debbie Loves Nurses especially, and teachers and so forth. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, Jerry, you don't have to put the spotlight on yourself. We happily do that for you, because what you are doing, you probably know this, because I'm sure you have the family members that, you know, hug you and thank you and, you know, do whatever they can to show their gratitude. But, you know, so many of us, when we've gone through the process of losing a loved one, and that particular hospice person, that worker that's there, even the extended hospice workers, like the social workers, the other administration folks, when they take it seriously, like yourself, and you really enter into this encounter with the people that you are serving, it is. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, I mean this sincerely, Jerry. When my dad was passing away, okay, my dad was calling out the name Connie. Connie is my mother's name, but Connie was also the hospice nurse's name. And we found out later that my dad was asking for Connie, the hospice nurse, okay, because you bring such a comfort to people. And I get emotional thinking about it. But yes, there's always a business, things that are happening in the business world. There's also some people that don't do it for the right reasons. It happens in every industry. But Jerry, you sound like your heart is in the right place.
Well, thank you. I just ask for your prayers. It is a difficult, position to be in, but when people are, when you're dealing with, people's families and their loved ones that are, you know, in a troubling time, you know, but that's what I try to shed my faith, you know. But, you know, when I was in nursing school, and I haven't been a nurse that long, but when I was in nursing school, they really said that, you know, you're supposed to kind of keep your religious, your faith and your back, you know, that kind of thing to the side. But it's all, you know, it's really difficult to do that. You know, you have to let people know what you believe, because that's that's really the essence of it. You know, this life is only temporary, and we all have to kind of focus on what's coming next.
Exactly.
And that's where I try to provide that perspective. But it is difficult, you know, because you see so many people that face this life without really any hope for the next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you're in our prayer book, Jerry. We'll let you go. I know you said you've got to get to, I think you said, to a patient there. So many, many blessings to you, brother. Thank you so much for what you do. Thanks for calling the program. We appreciate that so much. You know, Debbie, it just, it doesn't make sense. You know, if they discourage them from bringing in the faith component, and yet it's at that stage of people's lives when they're dying, when that's probably the time when they most want to talk about God and most want to make that spiritual connection with their Creator.
Well, remember, we have a lot of nurses and hospice workers that call into the show. Remember, over the years, they've mm-hmm. shared with us that those that have faith, when they are making that transition, it is actually a beautiful, very, you know, you can anointed, you know, mm-hmm. movement of the person. But when people don't have the faith, they're struggling. They're hurting. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of suffering. And so it's very interesting. And I think that in the hospice work, Jerry, it is such a unique position to be in. And God puts, I believe, just the right people in that area.
It's a very privileged place to be.
Yeah,
that's
privileged
sure.
place to be. Yep.
All right, Jamie in New Mexico is up next, listening on the EWTN app. Hi, Jamie. Tell us about hospitality in your life.
Yeah, hi there. God bless you guys. Hey, we have quite a few panhandlers in our city, and whenever I see them and I have some cash, I try to give them a little bit. And most of the time, they are holding the sign, you know, that says "Homeless, please help." And actually, I'm a veteran, and I was a homeless veteran for a while, so I know how that feels. And, you know, when I do it, some people say, well, you shouldn't do that. You don't know how they're going to spend it. They might just go buy alcohol and cigarettes. But I look at it as you really don't know how they're going to spend it. You don't know their story. You don't know what's going on. So they might be, you know, they might gonna be going to spend it on food or rent or what have you. So that's my story.
Where does it say, I don't know, chapter and verse in the Bible, Debbie, it says something about you may be entertaining angels unaware, mm-hmm. You know, but it sounds like, you know, that's exactly what Jamie is talking about there. And we don't know. You're right, Jamie. He makes a very good point. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people have different thoughts on this, and I think yeah. they're all kind of legitimate takes on, you know, how to deal with the panhandlers. But Jamie, you got a beautiful approach to that. Yeah, go
right, because it's coming from your heart, Jamie, and also from your experience, and so you're coming from that angle. And I believe God is pleased with your heart on this. And you shared that you were a veteran, and thank you so much for your service. God bless you for that. So I think what you're doing is a ministry. Do you feel like that's what it is?
Yeah, I think so in my own way, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I'm sure they appreciate it, too. Do you have any opportunity to talk about God when you gift them some money?
No, because most of them are at big, major intersections.
Okay.
So I just have to, you know, hand them the money and make it real quick. But a lot of times their signs will also say that they're a veteran, they're a homeless veteran. So mm-hmm. it really hits me, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, because it hits you because you, yeah, yeah. See, you have that relationship. Yeah. And so, wow, that's powerful. You know, you have a story to tell here, Jamie. You need to public, you just did on this program, but have you ever thought about maybe writing this down? Do you have a story attached?
Yes, I do, but I never thought about writing it down. That might be a good idea.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah,
Debbie's full of good ideas, Jamie. So there's one for you from Debbie.
I had a few people take me up on it, and they're doing yeah. well with writing their stories. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jamie, for the call. We're going to close real quickly with Mary in Dublin, Ohio, listening on St. Gabriel Radio. Mary, we have 90 seconds. Hope you can fit it in that time. Welcome.
Hi there.
Hi.
Thank you, Jerry and Debbie. Today you're talking about radical hospitality. My daughter-in-law, Sarah, and my son on Mother's Day, the evening, they opened their home, inviting friends and classmates of their three children to pray the rosary in front of a statue of Our Lady of Fatima. The children led the entire rosary. Their ages were 1 to 18, and after they had snacks, it was such a beautiful, grace-filled evening, and I invite other parents and children to do this. It was yeah. just beautiful.
By all means. That is
wow.
absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
And to be teaching the children mm-hmm. these things
That's
at such
thinking.
A young, tender age. Yeah.
Wow. The whole time you were talking, Mary, I'm going, wow, I could picture 50 people praying the rosary, children, and then opening up their home. And again, all of the elements in front of the Fatima statue. Oh, Mary, you must be so proud carrying the name of Mary, huh?
Oh, I love everything about Our Lady of Fatima, and I'm just mm-hmm. so thrilled my daughter-in-law and son are just continuing this on with their family and friends.
Praise God. Praise
yeah.
God.
Yeah, you're blessed. Wow.
Thank you, Mary. Thanks for the call.
Yes.
What a great note to end this broadcast on here on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio on Monday. Do you ever have to pretend everything is okay in life? Sometimes we got to, what do they call it, fake it to make it? Or yeah, we got to really put on a good face even when things aren't going so well, right?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting topic on Monday, so be thinking about it. Okay, now you guys can get started with your weekend. Thank you to the Take Two family, all the affiliates that carry Take Two. Thank you to the show team. You guys are incredible. We love Charles and Matt and Michael. If you want to keep the conversation going, like us on Facebook, Jerry and Debbie Facebook page, or email us, take2@ewtn.com. The saint of the day, Jerry, is Saint Julia Salzano, so we ask her to pray for us. And until Monday, have a beautiful and blessed weekend. We'll see you real soon.